I say good evening, and it's a blessing to be here, and I am blessed to see each one of you here. There's probably many other places that you could have been, many other things that you could be doing, but I would say, as Jesus said, that you have chosen the good part. And so I want to bless you for choosing that which is good. And probably not only good, but I would say it's the best. There's nothing better that you could do with your time than seeking God. And so this evening, I was with the songs, Brother, the second song he chose. He asked if I had a certain song, and I told him I didn't, but then he chose the song, and as I'm reading the words, we're just going to read them to you, because sometimes when we sing, we don't think about what we're saying, because we're more focused on singing. But it says, "Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine." You mark that down. "Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide." He's never out of sight. "He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight of love." So I trust tonight that as we're here, that we are all pressing toward a goal, one goal. Well, I should say we all are, but the thing is are we pressing toward the right goal? We're all moving somewhere, and tonight, maybe I should back up a little. The title tonight is Walking with God. And I'm going to back up for those of you that that go to church with me. We go to church together there in Allen County. Brother Daniel had the opening, and he talked. He gave the definition of the patriarchs walking with God, and so that blessed me to sit there. And so we're going to use some of his thoughts combined with some of mine, and the Lord will have His way. So as we think of a title of walking with God, first we're going to go through the Bible, and I'm just going to give you some verses of where it's mentioned, and then we'll talk about the subject at hand. The subject that we want to talk about this evening is the lack of continuity between Sunday and Monday and Saturday, Monday through Saturday. Okay, so we'll discuss that further, but let's just turn our Bibles. I wrote the verses down on a paper. So you can turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5 for the first couple of verses. And it's simply, we're just going to look at some verses that use the word walked or walk. And no, we're not going to look at all of them because we'd be here a while. So in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, this is talking about Enoch. And it says, "Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Pretty interesting, right? Enoch walked with God. And so you're going to have an opportunity to answer this later, so think about defining walking with God. So, like, because we're going to have some opportunity to discuss that a little bit. And we're not going to mention a lot on these verses, but Enoch walked with God, and he walked with God, and he was not because God took him. And now we turn to Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 7. It says, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. So he walked with Enoch, and he also walked with Noah, and he walks with perfect men. Men that are upright, men that are perfect. That's who God walks with. And now we'll turn to Genesis 48. We're just going to skip through some of these. We don't have the time to take all of them. And this here is when Israel was blessing Joseph's two sons. And it says, and Israel stretched out his right hand, verse 14, and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. So now you have Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God, Abraham and Isaac walked with God, and it doesn't it just indicates, but I believe that Adam and Eve walked with God. It says that it doesn't say specifically that Adam walked with God, but it does say that in the they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. So now we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And now we look at a command from God unto his children. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. It says, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So we think about that, we walk with the Lord. He says, you shall walk in the ways of the Lord, which he hath commanded us. This is God commanding the children of Israel. And the reason is that we would live. That's why we should walk with God, that we would live. We'd have life. And that it would be what with us? Well with us. And that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So there's a purpose of walking with God, not just aimlessly walking because God wants to take a stroll in the park with us. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19 and 20 there. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. And so we have here, and shall it be, is how it starts out there, if we forget God and walk after other gods. So that's why the title is Walking with God, because we can walk in the flesh. We can walk in the spirit, we can walk in the flesh. But he says, if you do that, there's no hope for you. You're going to be destroyed, just like all the other nations around you. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And it says in verse 22, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22, it says, for if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to cleave unto him. So it's just some verses there. Now we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8 in the New Testament. There's many more in the old, and there's many more than what I'm going to give you in the new. But we're going to turn to Romans 8. Um, Romans 8, verse 1, and I think we'll read 1 through 8 there. It says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, or an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." That's pretty straightforward, pretty self-explanatory there, that if we're walking in the Spirit, we're following the Lord, there's no condemnation upon our lives. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death." It says, for what the law could not do. It says, that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and condemned sin in the flesh. Why? That the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in you and I, or brought to perfection in us. There's a lot could be shared there, but we're going to leave that. We're going to continue to move forward here. So as we think of the word walk, it's a my definition is this: a continuous, steadfast movement. A continuous, steadfast movement. So it's a movement that you're always moving. You put one foot in front of the other. A consistent movement. You're walking. A steady movement. A movement indicating that we are going somewhere. There's a purpose. We're not aimlessly wandering. We're moving toward an eternal goal. We're not fighting as one that beateth the air, or walking as one that's without a purpose. So as we read these verses in the past, these in the Old Testament and the New there, that we realize that it takes action to walk. You're not walking when you're sitting there, even though there's some movement. You're not walking. You're sitting still. And there's people that in our world that we live in today, there's people that exercise, so they enjoy standing in one spot and moving their legs for a long period of time until they wear themselves out. That's movement, but it's aimlessly moving. You're not walking. Even though you're going through the motions of walking, you're standing still. And so that's what we want to talk about this evening, is our walk with God. So how many of you know what I mean when I say Sunday morning Christians? Raise your hand if you know what I mean. Okay, so now, how would you describe a Sunday morning Christian? Remember, we're talking about the continuity between Sunday and Monday through Saturday. Somebody started saying something. Act more spiritual on that day, okay? Do something different, okay? Somebody else. Different standard, explain. Let's just give one example. Okay, they choose the language they should speak. Okay, somebody else. Is all said, you know what it's like. Okay, so just give me some descriptions. Go ahead.
They think Sunday is the only day they can really walk out their faith.
Okay, they think Sunday is the only day that they can actually do what the Bible says. So we'll leave that, but it's you all raise your hands. So I know that we're all in familiar territory here, okay? We all know what that means. But does that affect us? Are we familiar with it? Do we do that at times? So let's think about it. Maybe it's the only day that you read your Bible. Sunday is the first day that you... you got to skip this week, okay? Because you have your Bibles here with you. You're kind of pressed into a mold here. So you, this week, I won't ask you. How many of you, but I'm going to ask you, don't raise your hands. How many of you is this week abnormal for your Christian life? Now you just think about that. Don't raise your hand. But a Sunday Christian, it's the day of the week that he gets his Bible off the shelf and he reads. Or at least he opens it. He takes it to church with him. It's the only day of the week that he thinks about his relationship with the Lord. It's the only day of the week that he talks spiritual, or he talks about the Word of God. And I say he, but it's he and she. It's us. It's we. It's the only day of the week that he sings and prays. It's the only day of the week that he even tries, even puts a feeble effort forth to take every thought into captivity. Because he knows that, I think somebody said it, or we act spiritual. It can be many things. You probably have a whole list of things by now. But if I was to ask one of you, or maybe all of you, to come up here on this whiteboard and show me what your walk with God looked like in the past week. Not this week, the week before this week, 2 weeks before this. What would that look like? And when we talk, you all know what I mean by continuity, right? Everybody understand? Maybe not. Okay, continuity means a continuous, they use it in, electricians use it to see if the same wire goes from point A to point B. You test it, and then there's a connection between those. So if you was to write your life on the board up here, give me a picture of what your life looked like, and then beside that you would put a picture of the people that Enoch walked with God. If I would ask somebody else to come up here and draw a picture on the board of what that looked like, would it be different than your life? Do you find at times that this is Sunday, and then you have Monday and Tuesday? And sometimes we have prayer meeting on Wednesday. And then we have, got that. And then we have Thursday through Saturday. So you see there's no continuity in this journey here. There's a little bit here. Wednesday overlaps a little bit on Thursday and Friday. But there's Sunday is completely separate from the rest of my life. So I'm going to give you a scenario, a week. So it's Monday morning, you wake up, you're ready to go to work. I'm talking to the men now, but this can you have to you're maybe ready to do some sewing or whatever you do. But so you get up, there's a plan, there's a schedule, the week's full, and Monday you're done, Sunday's cut off, it's back there. You're focused on work, you're moving in a direction, and you got to get this work done because you only have 5 days to do it, and it looks like the load is a little bigger than the week is long. And so you get all geared up for work on Monday, and by Tuesday you're on fire for work. Sunday is farther back than it ever was. And Wednesday, if perhaps you have prayer meeting or whatever you would have, well, that brings you back into touch a little bit. Now, Sunday, I'm not sure what got shared on Sunday. I don't remember. But at least we're thinking about God again. We're thinking about our relationship. We're kneeling down. We're praying. Somebody shares a devotional. We're around the Word again. And now our minds are going back toward our relationship with the Lord. Well, then Thursday morning, we get there, and yes, we remember last night, but by Friday and Saturday, we done forgot about Wednesday night. And Sunday morning, we wake up. We're tired. We spent all week working. We was focused on work. Our mind was filled with work. Our mind was filled with the task of this life. And we show up Sunday morning, and the fire's out. The coals are cold. You go to church, and by the time the service is over with, your fire started smoldering a little bit. That's why you missed most of it. It's because by the time you got back to Sunday, all of the relationship with the Lord was just about squashed out. And it reminded you again on Sunday morning of what your purpose in life is for. Now, I should ask this. How many of you can identify with this week, a week like this? Go ahead, raise your hand. How many of you, don't be ashamed. We're all of the same passions, okay? I do too. This is a normal or an abnormal week? And what should it be? If it's normal, then it shouldn't be. If it's abnormal, well, bless you. That you can continue to keep the continuity in your life. That if you was to draw these, and I know every little, everything here breaks down at some point, and I wasn't sure how to do it all. But Monday would overlap with Sunday, and then Wednesday would come back and it would bring this over, and it would tie together with Thursday, and Thursday through Saturday. And so by the time Sunday morning comes around, you're excited. God has something for you on a Sunday morning. You've been praying for a message. And some man comes and he brings what the Lord has showed him, and you're not sleeping. You're going to get it. You're looking for something from God when this is a normal week. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. What does that look like in our day to day? Okay, so we're gonna think about this from a different perspective now. I know we have at least two courting couples here. I don't know how many are here other than those, and that's fine. I don't need to know. I am gonna pick on one, but that's okay. But it'd be pretty foolish if your partner forgot he was courting, right? So just suppose, I know Brother Allen, Sister Lois, they're courting. So Brother Allen, he's been to church on Sunday, and he had a wonderful day. He spent some time with Lois. He didn't forget it. She's right there. And Monday morning, he wakes up, and he's geared for work. He's got some jobs that need to be done. He's going to go to work, and he works hard, and he's thinking about the rest of the week. And Monday evening, he's tired. He gets home. He had a long day. And he had intended to make a phone call, but he didn't get there. Tuesday morning comes, and the same scenario. Tuesday night, he goes home, he goes to bed. And Wednesday night, it's prayer meeting, and Brother Allen walks in the door, and he goes, Oh, forgot. Sorry about that. I had good intentions. Really, Lois, I was going to. But you know, Monday night got late. I was really busy. I didn't have time in the morning. Please, please forgive me. She says, I forgive you. Well, what happens? Alan goes to work Thursday morning. He's busy again at work. He's focused. He's got things to do. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, same scenario. Sunday morning, he walks in. He forgot again. He's courting. But Lois, listen, you have to understand, okay? You are number one in my life. You are the most important person, that nothing stands between you and me other than God. Nothing. I love you with all my heart. Now, how many of you would say he's saying the truth? No, nobody said he's lying, right? His actions are speaking against what he's telling her. His walk with God is not lining up there. His talk and his walk aren't meshing together. So there's a disconnect. There's no continuity. He's saying this, but he's doing that. And that's a little humorous, because we can all identify with it. That's the sobering part. Now that we know what's lacking, how can we fix it? I trust in a week like this, you're here. You're here for 5 days, 4.5. You're saturated. You're surrounded. It's a spiritual atmosphere. The Bible is taught. You're spoon fed on silver platters. Somebody's laboring to feed you. You're enjoying it. You're soaking it up. It's a wonderful place to be. And probably by the end of the week, you would be like Peter and you would say, Lord, can't we put up some tents here? We'll just live like this. It'd be a beautiful thing, right? Because we love it. Because what's happening is our walk with God is hitting a revival. It's hitting an upswing. It's going back to how God intended it to be. You're here, you're praying, you're singing, you're fasting. There's convictions that are happening. It's just a wonderful place to be. And so I would encourage you that we must maintain a vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. Jesus Christ wants to walk with you just as he did with Noah, just as he did with Enoch. He wants that personal, vibrant relationship with you and me. He doesn't want a disconnect. He doesn't want you on Sunday morning only, but he wants you. He wants all of you. A.W. Tozer said, Christianity is either everything for mankind or nothing at all. And you look back and you say, well, those were the patriarchs. Noah, he was a different man than we were. Enoch, he was a special individual. And probably most of you, as you sat here and you listened to Brother Isaac and Brother Alan and Brother John, and you would say, well, they have something that we don't have. They have a relationship with God that's on a different plane than we are. And you've probably succumbed to the idea that it's only for certain people to have that relationship with God. The rest of us, well, we're just going to make it through life the best we can. So what changed from the days of Noah until now? What changed? Did God change? No, God didn't change. God's not going to change. Matthew 22, 35 through 38 says this. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And we could probably all say it together. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. What does all look like? Like Brother Allen loved Lois? Is that what it looks like? Did he do it with all his heart? Or what did he do with all his heart? Go ahead. What do you do with all his heart? In the scenario I gave you. He's not doing this. Sorry, Brother Allen. He worked. He put all of his heart into work. Is it wrong for him to work? Well, no, it's not. He needs to work. But it's wrong for him to say, my heart's not there, it's over here. It's wrong for me to say that my I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind, and I invest little to no time with Him. That's a lie. I like the old Testament definition of this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. It says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. That's how we would love the Lord our God with everything that we have. The Word of God surrounding us. They put it as a sign on their hand. They put it as frontlets between their eyes. They put it on the doorposts of their house. They put it or they surrounded themselves with the commandments of God. Why? So that there could be that relationship with God. That God walked with Enoch. How many of you think that's possible for us today? Can God walk with each one of you? Amen. He can. And I want to believe in my heart that He is. That He is. So, what does it look like today? What does walking with God look like today? God told His people that they were to talk of His Word and the great things He has done for them all the time. When they're sitting down, when they're walking, when they're working, when they're playing, they're to remember the commandments of God all the time. So let's take in some scenarios. When we sit down, sit around the Sunday lunch table, And it's lunch is over, and the first desire in your heart is to go sit with your friends and engage in a conversation about whatever comes to your mind. Sewing, working, playing. I don't know how it goes with you, but I'd like to encourage you Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons, to engage in a conversation about the message or other topics in the Bible, maybe something you've been studying. You can initiate that. You don't have to be the silent one. Devotions in your home. How's it go, young men? Are you just a silent listener? Or are you engaged? Daddy's having devotions and you're just enduring the time. No, you don't buck against it. No, you're glad to be there. It's not like you don't want to be there. And you love what's getting taught. But you don't. You're being a taker. You're not going to give a whole lot. You're just going to be quiet. when it's or when our conversations, maybe I should ask you, what are your conversations? What's the first thing that comes to your mind on a Sunday afternoon? After you sat during a message, you had at least an hour message, you had a devotional or an opening, you had children's lesson, you had at least probably a half hour of singing, and you was again put in this atmosphere. For a brief moment in your week, you got to experience this right here. And you get done with that, and what do you talk about? What are you talking about over there in the tables at lunchtime, at supper time? What is your conversation? Are they spiritual or are they carnal? These are good indications of my heart. Okay? They are. This is not just for you, young people. This is for us. It's a good indication. Do you know that you can be sitting here right now and your mind can be somewhere else? Do you know that? Physically present, not hearing anything that gets said. You can endure this whole week that way. And you can leave here on Friday and you missed something very beautiful. You missed it. I honestly believe that when you committed to coming here, God had something specially for each individual one that's here. God wants to do something in your heart. Just open it up and let Him do it. Well, what about during the week? It's Tuesday morning, you're out driving and your car's bought out of gas and you're pulling the gas station and you need to fill it up and there's brother so-and-so, there's sister so-and-so across from the gas pump from you and what do you talk about? Well, we talk about what's inside, right? Do we initiate a biblical conversation? You say, well, we're too young for that. We don't do those things. Well, I'd like to encourage you that if you're too young, if you say you're too young to talk about spiritual things and to initiate spiritual conversations, when you're in a conversation and it went left, it's way too foolish, it's way too carnal, and you stand there, Mr. Spiritual, and you won't say one word. Well, if you're saying that you're too young to talk about spiritual things and you can't initiate godly conversations, then I'd like to just give you a little bit of wisdom that if you're also too young to be away from your daddy, to talk to your friends about the last job that you did, the big truck, the new truck, the big buck that you saw, the next outing that's coming up, you're anything other than the Bible, you're too young to be away from your daddy and mommy. If you can't initiate a godly conversation at this age in your life, we missed something. We missed it. And brothers, it's a danger that we face. Because you have... things that you didn't work for. Things that you didn't build. You have vineyards that you didn't plant. And God warned us about those. If you say you're too young, I would highly recommend that you start exercising yourself in this. And soon, it will become a habit. You know, we're willing to do that, just about anything. If daddy says, you know, we go to work, we don't ever want to say, I'm too young, dad, I can't do that. Mom, I'm too young to learn how to sew, I don't want to do that. No, we're there, we're willing to learn, we want to learn. And so as we are growing in the Christian life, we desire to walk with God. Well, what does walking with God look like today? Noah was walking with God and he was probably thinking about the next cutting of hay he's going to make. Or how big he's going to make his sheepfold. How many cattle he's going to have. Noah walked with God. Consistent, continuous, steadfast movement. Not aimlessly wandering, not a walk in a park. He was going somewhere. Remember, the words of our mouth are a good indicator of our heart and of what my passions are, and it tells how our walk with God is. So when you engage in conversations, and you just have to be, I just encourage you to go home and just be frankly honest with yourself. What are the conversations that I get involved in? What do I start? What do I initiate? What do I just silently endure because I'm too young? This is what we would call a telltale sign of a heart that's growing cold, is when we're going to go quiet about everything. We sit and we really get excited when those hunting stories come around. The brother drives in the new truck. His sister got a new sweater, and things get us excited. That ought not to get us excited. Is it wrong to have those things? No. But what my point is not those things. The point is our relationship with God, a koinonia with Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 49. I'm going to read them to you. It says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And then he goes on to say, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Well, we're not going to finish that, but you know how if a man will hear his sayings and do them, he likens him into a man, a very spiritual man, that has his life founded upon a solid rock. But when we're like the scenario given, we say we love you, Lord, with everything that we have, but we have no time for God. So what's the solution? Brother Andy, you can pass out those papers. The solution, what do we think about now? I don't want to leave you with a problem that you're hopeless. You're kind of, how do we fix this thing? And so I'm going to give you, there's a little handout here. And while you're waiting on that, you can turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. That's where we're going to spend a little bit of time. So in turn your Bibles there, and we'll look at that paper a little later. But in Colossians chapter 3, and you don't have to worry about that handout there. You can just put it aside for this at this time. We're going to talk about some other things before we get to that. So we have three words here that we're going to look at, and they're found in the first five verses. So we're going to start reading verse 1 and read through verse 5. It says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." We'll read down to the period, sorry. Verse 6, "For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. in the which you also walked sometimes when you lived in them. And we're going to stop. We're going to stop reading there. As we think about this week here, that I would trust by the end of the week, there's probably at least one area in every one of your life that you would like to change. And so that's kind of like a guilt trip, kind of a guilty feeling. You sit here and you know, of course, in this setting, that's what happens, right? That's what's supposed to happen. When you immerse yourself into the Word of God, those things should happen. It's normal. But what we've kind of come used to the idea that, well, you know, again, by the time next week comes around, yep, burn Bible school. Oh, yeah, right. I almost forgot we even had it, let alone what the Lord wanted to do with me there. Or you get convictions, and perhaps you got a conviction that you're not reading your Bible like you should. And so you're sitting here in this seat, and when that conviction hits you like that, you make some big oath of some sort that you're going to go home and you're going to read your Bible for 30 minutes every day. You're going to do it. You're just going to get out and you're going to do it. And whatever it takes, if you have to set that alarm clock earlier, you're going to do it. If you have to stay up later, you're going to do it. Well, I'd like to share with you that for many years, I have tried to mortify the flesh. Now, we believe that God wrote the Bible. Well, he didn't actually pen it out, but he breathed the words. And I believe that he breathed every word in its specific order. So there's three words that you have here, and those words are seek, set, and mortify. You'll see them in the shadow of your handout there. Those are the three words that we want to think about. And oftentimes, as Christians, our goal is to mortify the flesh, right? The flesh gets in the way. If we would draw it on the board here, we're just going to do a straight line. And we would draw that our spiritual journey from the time we was born again. And we would draw it, you know, till we're still here, so there's not an end. That line there has continuity. There's no break in the gap. But in your mind, what does it take to make that? Well, what needs to happen to separate your relationship from God? What did it take in the garden? Sin, and it still takes it today. Well, we can identify that as, well, you know, we got a list of things. We can do anger, we can do malice, we can do covetousness, we can do drunkenness, we can do adultery, we can do fornication, we can put all that in, and then we can go to the checklist and we can say, not me. So at the end of the day, what stands, what brings that, what breaches the gap, what breaks that continuity is myself. It's when I get on the throne. It's the flesh. So then we go at the flesh. I've done it for years. There was a sin in my life that I struggled with for many years. And every time that would come up again, it would happen, I would make vows. I would say, I'll never do that again. I'll do this so that this will never happen again. I'll do that so it doesn't happen again. To no avail. It happened again. And again, I would make these great, big, wonderful promises that I'm going to do for God because I know it's not right. So there's maybe that's where you're at tonight. You're trying to mortify the flesh. But I'm going to give you a different scenario. And I know this is all up for correction. I trust the brothers here in the back will correct anything that needs to be corrected. But here we are. We're reading these verses, and it says, what's the first word of those three that I gave you? To seek. What's the second word? Set. And what's the third word? Mortify. So why do we start at the bottom? Why do we go at it? Well, because that's the stickler. That's the thing that gets in the way. So if we cut that thing off, it's going to change everything. How many of you have found that to produce a victorious Christian life? When you just cut the flesh off. Well, now you're wondering what I'm going to say. You can do that, okay? That's okay. There's a place for that. But in the order of the scripture, I'd like to give us something a little different. So here we are at the bottom line of your paper there. It says, this is where I am. But I have no desire to stay. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. So on that line there, you have to do this tonight in your quiet time or tomorrow morning in your meditations. You just be really honest about this is where I am with my walk with the Lord. And you can put it in there, you can fill in that blank, whatever you want to do. But I trust here tonight that we all want higher grounds. Is that correct? Everybody wants to go higher. Okay, that higher ground is your goal. So you put up there whatever you want to pursue, whatever you want to get. If we don't have a goal, we're walking aimlessly. Life is without a purpose. It would be the same as if you was a roofer here today, that today you went and you tore off a roof, and tomorrow you put it on, and then the next day you tear it off, the next day you put it on, the next day you tear it off, the next day you put it on. You're staying very busy. You have all kinds of work. But you're going nowhere. You're doing nothing. It's pointless. It's aimless. You sew a dress, you tear it apart. You sew a dress, you tear it apart. There's no goal. The end product isn't, I'd like to have a dress store. No, I just enjoy sewing and tearing apart. I just enjoy taking a roof off and putting it back on. No. There's got to be a purpose. So what is the goal in life? Where do you want to be? How far do you want to go? How do you want your walk with God to look like? Enoch walked with God and he just was not, because God took him. And so in order for what we identify where we are, and we acknowledge, by identifying where we are, we acknowledge that there's higher ground to gain. So now we have higher ground to go. So the questions on the side is, what steps will I take to help me reach the goal? See, life has a purpose. And then on the other side is, what hinders me from reaching the goal? Obviously, as you see, those lines are below the other side, because you need to first recognize you have a problem, and then you need to say, well, what hinders me from reaching the next step? Because I trust that we'll just say this, we're here, and the stars is where we want to be. We're a long ways from there, right? And probably by standing here, we will never reach the stars. We're never going to land on the moon. Never. Until we do something about it. And so we first identify what hinders you and I from reaching and landing on the moon. Well, we can put in there whatever it is. But we put in there the step. This is the next step I want to take. Because you may never reach the stars. You know that? You have a goal up there and it's written farther than you'll ever reach. But that's okay. You just take, we're walking with God. We're walking. You may get to here. You may desire to be over there. But maybe your children will start here and they'll go there. And so it's a progression. It's a continuous, steadfast, consistent movement. Going somewhere. We're walking. We have a place to go. We need to keep moving. So I would encourage you tonight, is if you have some of those feelings, even this week, If something comes over you, you need a change, don't just make these big vows that you're going to go home and do it. Because the banks don't even do this, okay? So a bank, if you was to be a teller at a bank, they would have you to handle the good money, spiritual, to identify the flesh. So often we hit the flesh to crucify the flesh to get something spiritual, where if we seek God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind, where will your affections be set? In heaven. And then what happens to the flesh when you seek God with all of your heart? It's mortified. Because you can't do both, right? You can't serve the flesh and God. So when you seek one, the other is mortified. But so often we mortify the flesh and we try to set our affections on things above. We try to meditate, change our meditations a little bit. Because that's probably what's wrong, is I'm thinking about things wrong. And so finally get my meditations, try to get them straightened out. But the flesh is still there. Where if we just seek God, when you get alone with God and you have that koinonia with God and you seek Him with all of your heart, you love that relationship, you love to get alone with God, you love to wake up in the morning and you don't look at devotions and say, well, I don't have time this morning. I'm sorry, God, I'm too busy, I can't go sit and have time with you. Lord, I don't have time. I'm tired tonight. I worked hard all day, you know, God. I mean, don't you understand how hard I work? I am too tired to read your word. And I would say that God looks forward. It's probably one of His highest joys is to have that koinonia with each one of us. That personal relationship. He wants you to wake up in the morning and say, Daddy, what do you have for me today? You get alone in your closet and you say, Daddy, where should I go? Well, what should I do? You see, it's not just, well, we just skip devotions. Because we can put that, we can put this scenario back to Alan and Lois and it sounds really bad. But brothers and sisters, the problem is we don't have a need of God. That's the problem. We don't have a need of God. You know, we get up in the mornings. There's something more valuable than you, Jesus. You know, I've got better things. It's higher priorities. I can't spend time with you. The alarm clock. I hit snooze and I got up too late and I got to go to work. Now, Alan would never tell Lois that. Lois, I have something more valuable than you. How long do you think that relationship would work? Not long. But yet, to our Savior, to our Redeemer, to the Creator, to your Creator, to the one that saved you and I from the pitfalls of sin, delivered us from the bondage of death and hell. And we say, Jesus, I don't have time for you. I don't have time to stop my daily duties. There's more valuable things than what you did to save my soul. Now, we'd never say that. But brothers and sisters, sometimes our walk expresses just that. That's the lack of continuity. I was talking with a brother the other night, and he made this comment. He says that, yeah, he missed a couple brothers' meetings and some other meetings, and he feels disconnected. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. If when I skip one morning of devotions, when I skip one morning of a relationship with God, that I would feel disconnected from my Father, that I would feel that void there. Something's missing, and I can't go on. But you see, in America, we don't have a need of God. We don't owe Him anything. And I'm afraid someday we're going to hear these words, Son, remember. Remember me in the garden. Son, remember how those lashes They plowed my back. Son, remember when I hung there on the cross. We're going to hear those words. We can't say that we love God with all of our heart and we walk the other way. It's called a breach in our relationship with the Lord. When we skip those things, and I know, a man can have a consistent devotional life and can be separated from God. I know that. I'm fully aware of that. But you and I were born again. We've been forgiven a debt. We're new creatures in Christ. And when I choose to set aside my relationship with God, I just decided right then and there that there are more valuable things than that relationship. And besides that, when you choose one time to skip something, how easy is it to do it second time? Really easy. And I'm going to share just a testimony. I should bring this to a close here. But we got born again. We my wife and I were young married. We had little children, and we had a consistent devotional life. And there was times, those days, it didn't happen. And I was talking with a brother in church. This was many years ago, so it was not in the church that I'm a part of today. But I was talking with him, and he goes, "Well, brother," he says, "I mean, we often don't have devotions. I mean, there's many times we just sit around the table and talk." Hey, okay. I feel good now, right? Because I don't either have to. Well, guess what happened to our devotional life? And I'm talking about sitting down at my wife and I at that time and reading from the Word of God. They went to nothing. Every excuse came up, every reason not to have it, they got pushed aside. Well, sometime later, I don't know what happened, but the Lord convicted me of that. And today, they're better than they've ever been. They're not near as consistent as they should be. And that's why I would encourage you, it's not just reading a portion of the Bible. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Seek those things which are above. And when you get up in the morning and you don't have time, well, you're not seeking God. You're seeking, your mind is going everywhere else other than where it should. And when that happens, it's just a good indicator of where heart is. We don't see the debt we owed. If we would, we would put Jesus first in our lives. You didn't do this on your own. You didn't get yourself converted and changed. God did a work through His Son Jesus Christ. And all He's asking is for your devotion to Him. That's all. Can we in this land we live? I'd like to share that you take 5 to 10 minutes of your day, and just allow your mind to stop thinking about work and play. Just cut it out. Just for 5 to 10 minutes. Just shut it off. Go to your closet, but leave that stuff outside of your closet, and you think about the precious price that was paid for your soul. And then I trust that by then we'll understand the debt that we owe to the Lord Jesus, and that we can consecrate our lives with Him. We don't owe our flesh anything. Okay? Nothing. We're not indebted to the flesh. Not one penny. Not one ounce. And so I'd like to encourage you, is to not let anything get between us and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one thing. Nothing. Don't hold anything at a higher value than Jesus. And I know we're not courting Jesus, okay? But I believe we're in the betrothal period. And the reason... Oh, sorry, Alan, we'll pick on you. The reason Alan courts Lois is for what purpose? Marriage. That's the reason. We're in the betrothal period with Jesus for what purpose? To sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we can say, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. And we can worship Him around the throne forever and ever. A consistent prayer life, a consistent devotional life, a consistent pattern of memorization. Plant it in your hearts today. Don't say tomorrow we'll do it. Don't say when I have more time I'll do it. Don't say that when I get another year older I'll do it. If you don't do it today, you'll probably never do it. And so I just want to bless each one of you and encourage you to continue to walk with God. And then God will walk with you. May the Lord bless you, and I'll turn it over to the moderators.